You better know that. You're all going to the same church. He's mad.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Isaiah the prophet announced it. The Spirit of God is with me because I have been chosen to bring good news to the abused, to bandage the wounds of the heartbroken, and to release those who are in prisons of all kinds. I am here to proclaim a good year in God's sight, a time when things will be set right.
I am here to comfort the grieving and to dress them for happy times instead of sad times.
The people who are healed and comforted will be like strong trees, upright and loyal to God. They will be like a forest planted to show God's glory. They will rebuild the world and show everyone God's power.
We wait for the day of God's joy and live in God's peace and hope as we light these candles.
Loving God,
come and shine your light in the world.
At this time, I'd like the boys and girls to come forward. I have something I would like to talk with you about. Would you come? Come all the way up here because we're going to talk about the Advent wreath, okay? Boys and girls, each Advent, this wonderful and beautiful wreath is put here. As you can tell, it's attached up there in the ceiling. So here is the wreath. Here are the candles. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 candles, 3 of which are lighted. Each of these candles stand for something. I'll tell you about that in a second, but I want you to know that both the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church, way back in the 1600s, they started this wreath. And you see, this is green with lots of fruit in it. And the green wreath, which is a circle, stands for two things. First of all, a circle does not have a start or an end. It continues. That's how the love of God is. It doesn't start, it doesn't stop. So this wreath is the love of God symbol. The fact that it's green talks about evergreen. That is always there. The love of God doesn't have a beginning or an end, and it is always there. That's what the circle, the flat wreath, is all about. Now, each of these candles, standing for each of the weeks of Advent, stand for something. The first candle is the hope candle. We hope for the coming of the Lord. The second candle is the peace candle. We hope for peace. But notice this beautiful pink candle. And that is this week's candle. This is the joy candle. The joy candle is always pink. It is a beautiful time when we look forward to the coming of joy. Then next week, we'll light the fourth candle, and it is the love candle. Got one more, though. Notice the white one. The white one here in the middle. My goodness. When do we light that one? There are only four Sundays of Advent, but we've got five candles. When do we light that one? Christmas Eve. This nice white candle right in the middle of the other four is called the Christ candle. It's white. It refers to Jesus. And that will be lighted Christmas Eve when we have the candlelight communion. So that is what we talk about when we describe the Advent wreath. It is very old in the church, Catholic and Protestant, Methodist, Presbyterian, and many, many, many others. You know what else? You can have Advent wreaths at home. So next year, just a thought, you might think about making an Advent wreath out of evergreen, a nice circle, three purple candles, a pink candle, and a white candle. And you might want to have a service, like what the Dinsmores just helped us with, for your family each Sunday, remembering these 4 weeks of Advent and what each candle means, plus the beautiful Christ candle in the middle. Let's have our prayer. Thank you, God, for Advent, for the great and lasting symbols of the church. Thank you for our abilities to participate in history, in tradition, and making it come alive for today. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you for coming up. Now comes a time in our worship when we remember our prayer concerns. Many of them are listed in the bulletin, and our pastoral concerns on the back of the bulletin, prayer concerns. Let's remember those, and if everyone will at this time register your attendance with the pads there you have in the pew. And also, if you have additional prayer concerns, be sure to list them so that we may be in prayer during the week and also mention them for next Sunday. Let us bow in prayer together. Shall we pray? Lord, the time is fast approaching when we will be celebrating the birth of your Son. Dear Lord, we're more than halfway through Advent. We recognize that we're still not quite ready. And dear Lord, help us spiritually. For although we may be getting ready with purchasing of presents and making plans for dinners of family coming together and friends, what we in the church remind us and ourselves and others reminds us that we need to get ready spiritually. Dear Father, there are many things that block the coming of Jesus in our hearts. So much of the time, we simply are filled to overflowing with cares and concerns of this world, with plans and failed plans of our calendar. We are overwhelmed with disappointment, overwhelmed sometimes with joy and celebration. Lord, we stay busy, sometimes too busy. So during this Advent and the times that we have left, help us make sure that there's room for Jesus, the coming of the Christ, on Christmas Eve, and then the wonderful 12 days of Christmas to follow. Dear Heavenly Father, it is with thankful hearts that we wish to say, to speak our gratitude for this church, for this great congregation, for all the talent that we see demonstrated continually, for the inspiration which comes from your Spirit to all of us to celebrate the salvation you freely given, that you have freely given us, and to share that salvation with folks less fortunate than we. Let us always be mindful of the sick, of the lonely, of the shut-ins, of those who do not have a saving knowledge of Jesus. Make us mindful of the poor. Make us mindful of those who do not yearn at all to make a positive contribution to society. Lord, we pray for our leaders on every level of government. We also pray for the leaders of the world with countries far away from us. We pray for our enemies and those who would so viciously take the lives of Christians or Muslim or anyone else that gets in our way or their way. Dear Lord, there's so much violence. We see it all the time. Whether it be violence of an auto crash, or violence of politics, or violence simply for the love of violence. Dear Lord, we are filled with concerns, but help us make time. Once again, we beseech you, help us make time to celebrate the coming of the Christ. We have special prayer concerns listed in our bulletin, and also with programs and with chances to share what you've given to us with the community. May those be ongoing. May we be constant in our prayers for less fortunate folks than we, that we can indeed sing your praise and help them sing your praise as well. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Lost its soul, afraid that Joseph knew.
Joseph married Mary, and then a pregnant virgin bride, to keep her safe from slanderous tongues. He kept her at his side, and when the child was almost due, the census summoned them to register in Joseph's town, way south in Bethlehem. This time we have the privilege of giving back to God his tithes and our offerings. Let the ushers come forward. Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.
Alleluia,
alleluia.
Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia,
alleluia. With thankful hearts, O God, we return to you that which is yours and that which we offer to you above and beyond our tithes. Thank you for the privilege of earning money and for the joy of giving money, especially back to you. In the name of the Christ, we pray. Amen. Let the congregation be seated. The scripture today, the text for our sermon, is a very famous passage called the Magnificat. Magnificat is Latin for magnify, and that is how the passage starts in Latin for Mary's song. We also know it as that, Mary's song. Your setting, of course, is Mary having visited Elizabeth. The angel told Mary she, in her old age, was expecting a son. So Mary goes and visits her kinswoman, and she stays there until just before the baby is born, just before Elizabeth's son, John, is born. Now, in course of her visit, Mary says these words, and it is a truly remarkable passage. Mary is probably 12 or 13 years old. They married very young in that culture. And here she is, a very humble individual who's been visited by the mighty angel Gabriel and told some shocking news. News which she knew would not go over well with her fiancé, much less with her family, and certainly not with the townspersons. So this is how Mary responded. It's a very famous passage. We've been singing about Mary all morning, and this is your epicenter for why it is such an important passage. From Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, let us hear again the word of the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word, the Magnificat. Let us bow in prayer. Father God, we beseech you to be with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. With this passage, we anticipate joy. Mary does. She leads us in a very ancient prayer, the form of which we find in the book of 1 Samuel, Hannah's song, when she learns that she will give birth to a son whose name would be called Samuel. So we've got the form of a prayer which Mary would have had. She would have learned that prayer, and so she fits into this prayer the passages which are appropriate for Mary, borrowing the form, likely from Hannah, over in the Old Testament. So we have a passage which illustrates what the lighting of the pink candle is all about today, namely joy. Now, when we look at the word joy, we need to separate the idea of happiness from it. To be joyful does not necessarily mean you're happy. Sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of some very difficult times, but because of what the end result will be with our difficulties, our strenuous kinds of efforts, we can say, that is joyful, but I'm not particularly happy. I'm working too hard to be happy. You see what I'm saying? Many are the times joy goes far deeper than happiness. Happiness is happening. It can happen today and this fast be taken away from us with sadness. All we have to do is go to the sports world. The sports world is illustrative of life. It's part of life, but because we are such a sports-minded culture, it's easy to see illustrations. How many of us, for example, have seen the completion of a pass and the running back or the flanker back is is out in the open. And we're cheering. We're as happy as that young man on the screen. But for a different reason, you see. And then all of a sudden, the flanker back gets hit and out squirts the ball, and our happiness goes south in a hurry because the other team covered the fumble. Do you see how happiness works? One moment, we're cheering at the top of our voices. The next moment, we go, oh, no. We're up and we're down. Joy is so different. Joy occurs when we see things unfold in spite of ourselves, yet because we get to see it, we are joy-filled. I doubt very seriously if there is a mother here today that had a good time giving birth to their child. I saw our son born, and I can tell you that it was quite an effort. And I'm certain that it hurt Virginia because she got there and he got there so fast, there being to the hospital and he into this realm, and she hadn't time to have a paracervical block. So she got the full benefit of pain. But that was joyful. Giving birth is an act of joy. It's participating with God in giving life, but not too happy. You see the difference? So now joy for Mary, she is magnifying the Lord. Why? Because God picked her to do something for him. It's not going to be easy for Mary because she's going against everything in the culture that says what is proper about the conception and birth of a new child. But yet, it's very important in the plan of salvation for people who are also caught in this kind of dilemma, in a reality which is, shall we say, not acceptable. It's very important for folks like this to remember that Jesus and Mary and Joseph had a similar dilemma, and yet God saw them through. So in the midst of potential embarrassment, potential scandal, God is present, and we need to remember that, because as life unfolds, we will find folks in pretty embarrassing situations. We're to remember that God is there too, and we are to witness to the love of Christ with all concerned. But reading on through this passage, she says that her son will scatter the proud. Scattering the proud. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Have you ever had your comeuppance? I have. Have you ever had to eat crow? There's not a condiment available that makes that kind of crow taste well. Do you know what I'm saying? Have you ever had to own up to something, knowing full well that you simply have no excuse whatsoever for being in the trouble that you're in, whether it be at work, interpersonal relationships, at school? You have to say, I did it. It's the sort of thing that we all feel when we are pulled over by the state trooper or the local police, and as we see those blue lights in our windshield, in our rearview mirror, we look down at the speedometer and we're about 20 miles an hour too fast. That's called comeuppance. And we were proud as we pushed the pedal to the metal and zoomed on down, feeling the surge of that car. Oh, it was probably a new one that we got, right? And we were exercising it, but we broke the law. And so here they come. I never will forget. Long as I live, this dear soul, she was a co-ed at UT when I first met her. She went to our church there. She had issues, and she would call me as her pastor, but she lived in Texas at this time. She worked. Home office for where she worked was in Texas. And she was on the phone crying to me and speeding. And then all of a sudden she says, "Oh no, Bill, I'm being pulled over. Oh my, I'm going way too fast." And this is what Dawn did. She kept me on the phone. She opened the window. "Ma'am, do you know how fast you were going?" "But I'm so upset. I'm talking to my pastor and I'm really upset. I didn't recognize how fast I was going. I'm so sorry." Well, she gave her registration and her insurance proof. And then because the waterworks were so voluminous, I'll be switched if he didn't let her go. And I got credit for saving her all kinds of money because I was on the other end of the phone. I still laugh when Dawn and I get together with her husband in Virginia and we talk about the time she got caught. But the waterworks. But where we go with this is that she got her comeuppance. She was very deft in handling it, mind you, but she was still guilty of breaking the law. That's comeuppance. And that's what she means, Mary. "He has sown strength with his arm and scattered the proud in the thoughts of their heart." We've been there. We've done that. This is what God does. This is what the Spirit of Christ does. Lest we get too haughty with self-importance. You follow me? There's another item that we look at too. Mary points out that Jesus will bring down, verse 52, "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly." When I was in seminary, I had a course entitled The Theology of Revolution. And we looked at five different revolutions throughout the history of the world. The American Revolution, of course, the Cuban Revolution, certainly the Bolshevik Revolution. We looked at those and two more, and we found something fairly constant, which seems to be universal. You cannot repress, you cannot grind down into the ground with the heel of your hand politically. You cannot keep doing that and not expect a snapback. And that was part of the theology of revolution, in that that's something you can expect. And that is exactly where the spirit of liberation, the spirit of Jesus, he is not going to put up with oppression, politically, interpersonally, socially, or in any other way. And so that class taught me to look around and see what's happening throughout the world. How many times have we associated Mexico, for example, with a corrupt government run by the drug lords? That's what pops in my mind, what pops in yours. But it got so bad several weeks ago with the kidnapping of 46 students. They simply have disappeared. Now it would seem that the people of Mexico are beginning to rise up. They are calling their government into accountability. And they are saying, enough corruption. That's the sort of thing that we who follow Jesus need to remember, especially as it applies to the Magnificat. Verse 52. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. Have you ever made the connection between Jesus and the politics of the world? It's there. Jesus is not privatized to a wonderfully comfortable church where we all basically think alike, worship alike, and live very similarly. If Jesus Christ is Lord of the world, and if God is the all-powerful creator, that then also includes in the political realm as well. Look and see what's happening with, for example, Mr. Putin in Russia. Here he's high and he's mighty, and he takes the Crimea. And then he's going to take the Ukraine, and all of a sudden, the people in the West start tightening down his money. Money talks. Did you know that? Money talks. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, the oil prices drop. Do we realize what's happening to Mr. Putin's economy? Here he was high and mighty back in the spring. High and mighty back in the spring. And here it is late fall. And people are saying, oh dear, that Russian economy is beginning to fall apart. That Russian economy is beginning to fall apart. Now this is another illustration of how the high and the mighty are brought down. And we don't know what's going to happen next. What I'm talking about is the movement from being pushed up by yourself, by others, and then being brought down with other circumstances. That's what Mary's talking about. Brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. And then finally, for Mary, we've dealt with the personal being having brought up their comeuppance. We've talked about political. We see that in history, the theology of revolution, what's happening around us right now, but then the economic. The economic is he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. It does not take long for any of us to read what's in here. To read what's in here about Love Kitchen, Kids Cafe, the RMA, and the food pantry. We see easily that this too is the work of Jesus. To have the hungry come, to have those who need clothing come to our fellowship hall and simply take what they need without being charged. That is the work of Jesus, and it is the Spirit of Jesus that has inspired our people to do that sort of thing. You heard the report of the Love Kitchen, where our personnel cooked for the folks, 75 or 80, I believe you said. That is the work of Jesus, feeding the hungry. This is the work of the church. Now look, I want to point something out to us. How often it is that we get upset about our government and all the entitlement programs, except for me, I'm entitled to my Social Security, you understand. I paid money into it. That's an entitlement. And all of you who are still working, I want you to work harder so that I can get your money and my check. You follow me? I mean, that'll work, won't it? I'm just being nice about it. But at the same time, we get really, really, really uptight about people who take and take and take from the government. But what I want to point out to all of us is this. If the churches had been doing what the churches are supposed to do, the government would not have to step in. You realize that? I need some amens. I need some strong amens. So you see, when we are doing what Jesus says we're supposed to do, the people in the government don't have to do it. Because basically, we don't want to see people go hungry. We don't want to see people, we as a population don't want to see people barefooted. We don't want to see people cold. I mean, why, shucks, we even buy coats for our dogs. And you think about that. I know somebody that's got 3 different coats for their dogs. I guess depending upon what they're wearing that day. The work of Jesus will be done. Because Jesus is Lord and Savior of everyone. And we who follow Jesus are to participate in what's going to be happening. Now we can sit back and we can say, well, I don't think I want to do that. Well, that's fine. You'll find somebody else. Did you realize that? The work of Jesus will be done whether you or I have a part in it or not. It's true. Our issue is, do I choose when I am tapped on the shoulder by opportunity, do I choose to follow what God is doing and giving me the chance to take part in His work? That's our choice. God doesn't need you and me. His will be done. But He offers us the chance to help Him do His will. And I am tickled pink to see so many of you in so many different ways doing what you have been led to do because the Spirit of Jesus has tapped you on the shoulder. I says, come on, let's go feed the hungry. Let's go clothe the people that don't have enough to wear. Let's see what else we can do. Because the Spirit of Jesus is witnessed to in the Scriptures with Mary's song. It's a beautiful song, but it is politically loaded. Make no mistake about it. Read it carefully again and again and again. And then look beyond where we are. Look in the realm of politics. Look at what's going on in Washington, in London, in Moscow, in Paris. Look and see when somebody gets too big for their britches, so to speak, there's a snapback. There's a revolt. You see it even in the Islamic culture as well. So give us eyes to see, God. That needs to be our prayer, and I think it is our prayer, because the good Lord will be Lord of all. We have the chance to participate with His work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our concluding hymn is Love Came Down at Christmas. It's number 242 in our hymnal. There may be those individuals who would like to come forward for prayer. Others, perhaps, who might like to join the church. If you come as we sing this hymn, we'd be very pleased to honor your request. Shall we stand?
Star and angels came out sight.
people of God, go forth from our time together and this beautiful place of worship. Go enjoy your salvation, and in every way, look for ways that God is already working, and then ask the good Lord, may I take part with you. Go in peace.